Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And we are fortunate to be joined again today by a guest host who is no stranger to the broadcast, Evangelist Kevin Brownfield. Kevin, it's always a pleasure to have you. And Doc, as always, boy, we've got our Bible and our coffee. And we're right in the middle of our series on the indispensable qualities that we have to incorporate into our life in order to have a great spiritual year. We're right in the middle of a very stimulating discussion on the second of those qualities, the indispensable element of wisdom. And we're calling this series of broadcasts The Worth of Wisdom for Daily Living. We've seen its principal nature and its priceless quality. And now, Doc, I think it'd be good if we could maybe just ask ourselves, did Solomon get this? I mean, what are the practical elements that showed up in Solomon's life that would show whether or not he heeded his father's counsel and he found wisdom or not?
That is what is so rich about the Bible. You find a book that you will never exhaust. You begin reading, you study, you see a life, you see a biography, you go back through again, you see something completely different. And when you go back to the life of Solomon, after David died, he left the responsibility, a God-given responsibility for Solomon. We pick up in 2 Chronicles, and the word is always the base. If I'm thankful for anything as I begin this new year, I am thankful that I have God's absolute inspired truth as my wisdom source. I would never want to be dependent upon these talking heads to tell me where I should be directing my day. And we find the story continuing of the life of Solomon in 2 Chronicles. We also see that same account in 1 Kings chapter 3. But 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we find that Solomon now has taken leadership, and he is given a very unusual opportunity. God comes to Solomon and says, Solomon, I will give you whatever you ask. In fact, why don't you read that, chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles, verse 7 through 11.
Solomon is now on the throne, David is dead. And in the night, God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto the Lord, thou hast shown great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give unto thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like.
If you had that opportunity, what would you ask for? I've thought many times, if I had that opportunity, first thing out of my mouth would be $1 million. I'd get new tires on my truck. I could do this. I could do that. I could get this done, that done.
It'd take a lot of pressure off.
I had had surgery on my shoulder. I was motionless at home for a period of time. I slept in a recliner, and I did a lot of volume reading. And I was in this passage in my recliner at home. I remember exactly where I was sitting and where I was reading. And I came to this passage, and I thought, why did God say that? Solomon said, give me wisdom. And I thought, well, Solomon didn't say, God, this is a big decision. Could you give me the weekend to pray about this? To me, that's significant.
Yeah.
Because it was right there. I'm thinking, okay, why that? And what God did in my thinking here, what God did was he told Solomon, most people with this opportunity would have chosen all four or one of these four things: possessions, position, placation of their wrath, or prolonged life. God, I'd like to live 120 years. Or God, I would like to have somebody leveled who wronged me. I'd like to become prominent. Or I'd like to have enough possession that when I snap the finger, people would jump. That's something I've never yet experienced in life. You can make people jump too hard with a credit card that's overbooked. So what Solomon did, he didn't choose what 99 9/10% of people would have chosen. They'd have chosen one of these four. He said, I want wisdom because I have been given a responsibility that is beyond me. Mm. And God, I don't have enough sense to go out. I don't have enough sense to come in. God, give me wisdom. So what popped to mind of Solomon? The instruction of the Father. Many times mm-hmm. when we are instructing our kids, we think it didn't register. It didn't take. Then later in life, they're faced circumstances. Suddenly, they go back to a wisdom base. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did it? Maybe 5 years, 8 years, mm-hmm. 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
But they go back to a wisdom base and said, okay, oh, that's what Dad said. Oh, I see now what Dad was saying. Mm-hmm. And normally, it's not until you get some kind of a load that you have to personally carry that you go back and start digging for those wisdom sources. So we find that Solomon says, I want wisdom above everything else. And then God says, Solomon, because you did not ask for these things, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you position. I'm going to take care of your enemy. I'm going to take care of the concerns that normally people would have in life, and you're going to live exactly as long as I intend you to live. Mm.
You know, it's really interesting you say that, Doc O. I was having a conversation with a daughter of mine that just got engaged yesterday, and I just sat down with her, and I was asking them about their future and what they were going to do, and she said something very interesting to me. She said, this is the first time in our lives that we have actually had to come up with what God wants us to do, because up until then it's been I've had authorities over me, and she said, now we're having to wrestle. And so I just looked at her and said, well, fear God and do what's right. Obey the scriptures. You know, it's really interesting to watch your kids, as you were just talking about, actually go through that transfer where now they have to look at all these things. And it's not mom and dad calling the shots anymore or giving direction, but they actually have to obey God.
You know, I just think about how most of us as parents direct our children and their energies. We want to direct them to prepare for the pursuit of possessions.
That's right.
Or we want to direct them to prepare for a position in life. You need to make sure that you get the right education so that you can occupy a certain position in life. Or we want them to have long life, or don't let anybody take advantage of you. And most parents today are actually directing their children in ways that are moving them away from the sources of wisdom rather than pushing them toward the sources of wisdom. I mean, for example, most parents would never consider sending their son or their daughter to a place like Northland or to a Bible college. You need to go to a place where you can get position and possessions and nobody's going to take advantage of you. And I mean, boy, we inadvertently could be directing our kids away from the sources of wisdom that God has put, where it talks about, you know, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And as we talked in our last broadcast, the fear of the Lord is in His Word.
Right. And when you hear the phrase all the time, you need something to fall back on. And this idea about faith and stuff is okay, but you've got to have something to fall back on, because God died. He's no longer in existence. Our family has to have a right reputation. And people kind of subtly direct their children to live the life they never lived. And it's a very subtle control.
Oh, yeah.
What is it geared to? Possessions, positions, prominence.
And placation of wrath.
Placation of wrath.
That's incredibly powerful.
We have to be
really
very
is.
Careful that we do not try to direct our children for our reputation. Because, oh, what are your kids doing? Mission field. Oh, a doctor. Oh, an attorney. Oh. In other words, they are really successful. Well, yeah, but I really turned them away from church planting, because that is not going to enhance my reputation. Because that is my dream, was to be what they're becoming.
Yeah.
So I had to make sure to kind of guide and counsel them away from these sort of things. And next thing you know, God's out of the picture. We do that with counsel with marriage.
Yeah.
And say, no, 28, wait till you're 35, then you're going to have some savings, then you're going to have this, and then you're going to have that. My wife and I have been married 45 years. We'd still be not married, because we still don't have enough to set up household. In other words, there's a time of foolishness, but when we have wisdom enough to stay out of debt and wisdom enough to be godly, those are two good guidelines to build a
household. And here Solomon got everything that he didn't ask for. When he got the fear of the Lord, he got everything he didn't ask for.
But you know why? God could trust him with it because of how he chose wisdom. Mm-hmm. He said a wise person can be trusted as long as he's following. Most of us cannot be trusted with these things if we don't have wisdom.
How do we know he actually got it, though? I know we know because the Bible says, but I mean, how did it like practically show up in his life?
How was Solomon's wisdom tested? That's the first question you ask. These two women came to him carrying one live baby, and the other woman said, "This woman killed my baby. This is my baby." And the other woman said, "No, she is holding my baby." And Solomon says, "Bring me a knife. We'll cut the live baby in half. No problem. This is a very simple matter to take care of." But he knew God had given him the wisdom that if the live baby was in the arms of the wrong mother, the real mother would rather have her baby alive in the other mother's arms than dead, to prove a point. A guilty person will let the baby be cut in half to prove a point. And boy, I could trace a lot of church splits of people who, in the lack of exercise of wisdom, as I'll prove my point, cut the baby in half. The one who has least compassion is the guilty one. And the one who has compassion is the wise one, because they're trusting God for the whole picture. So that was an immediate test of wisdom, and it was quite impressive. Queen of Sheba was quite impressed. She thought, "I better get to know this country bumpkin, because if everything I'm hearing is true, I'm going to have him for trade," because she was no dummy either. Mm-hmm. But Solomon's wisdom had spread worldwide.
You know, if we'll just take, Doc, what you've been saying here and really go the way that Solomon was pointed by his father David to seek wisdom in the fear of the Lord, boy, what a turnaround that would be in our life this year. And that would be my challenge to everyone listening to the broadcast. Would you give just serious consideration to what the Lord might be saying to you in these broadcasts? Have you been pursuing in the name of God the wrong things? Have you been pursuing position and possessions and prominence and placation of wrath? Or have you really been pursuing the fear of the Lord? And have you been directing your family in that way? The rest of the broadcasts in the series will be available at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. I hope that you'll take these broadcasts and pass them on to others. And until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.